All right. Well, as John Carlos said, today is our birthday, and today's a really big day for us here at Hoboken Grace because not only are we kicking off this new series, Find Love, and diving into this idea of pursuing love and what that looks like in our lives, but today we're also celebrating the fact that we've been here in Hoboken, we've been able to be a part of impacting lives here inside of our city for 3 years now, which for us is incredible. And so before we go any further in the service, I want to invite you to be part of something in celebrating what God's done here. For some of you, you're beginning to understand a little bit of why you received one of these as you walked in today. And what I want to invite you into is we're going to do something here in a little bit where you're going to be able to express your thanks to God for what's happened here at Hoboken Grace. And what's going to happen is I'll lead us in prayer, and I want us to just take a second, just thank God again for what he's done and what he's going to do. And then when I say amen at the end of that prayer, I want you guys to let loose on these things. All right? Are you with me? Are you here? What's happening? Okay, listen, I want you to stand up for a second. I noticed this in the first service. I don't know if it's like the middle of winter kind of getting us down or what, but everybody seems a little tight. I mean, the fact that you didn't laugh at that song in the introduction, I mean, come on, right? Like, a Sunday kind of love to the last past Saturday night, that's funny, all right? That was a joke. Some of you are like, wait a second, this is church. It's a joke, all right? But what we're going to do is I'm going to pray, and then you guys just let loose on these. Now, I'm going to let you know ahead of time that you can't, like, pansy this thing. All right, because if you just blow softly, it's really kind of quiet. It doesn't make any noise, just nothing, right? So you got to really let loose. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to just practice it, and then we're going to go into it. So just go ahead and give it a shot. Yeah. Yeah. If there are any young children, make sure you cover their ears because it's going to freak them out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to thank God for what he's done. And when I say amen, you guys just let loose on this. And some of you are here, you're saying, can I do this in church? Like, I want you to know as we go into this, this is exceptionally biblical. Because in Psalm 98:4, it says to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing. Can there be a more appropriate noise to celebrate our birthday than birthday horns? So I'm going to just let loose on that thing and just thank God with everything you have through this little guy right here. All right? So I'm going to pray. And then, just so you know, I'm going to capture this on video. All right? So will you guys pray with me? Father, thank you so much for what you've done to bring us here. I think back over this journey and just all the different people who have been a part of this and all the different lives that are changed. And for so many of us as we sit here today, if we think back to where we were 3 years ago, it's just amazing how you've changed our lives. You've literally changed our lives. And it wasn't that we pursued you, but that you pursued us. And Father, we just want to say thank you. We want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for all those that we've seen come to know you, all the baptisms that we've seen here on this stage and all the different places. And Father, we just want to say today that it's all because of you. And it's your hand that's brought us to this place. And we just want to follow. We want to be yours. We want to be faithful with what you've given us and what you're doing in our lives. And we want to be able to take this to more and more and more people. And so, Father, as we look back at these three years, we want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Awesome. You can have a seat. So you warmed up a little bit now, right? What a great celebration. Yeah. Now, what I want you to do with this is I want you to take it and I want you to put it underneath your chair. Because your ADD is going to kick in halfway through, and I'm going to say something, and it's going to be like something you agree with really strongly or something you disagree with, and you're going to grab that thing. So just put it underneath your chair where it's going to be totally out of sight and not a distraction to you. I can't think of a better way for us to be able to kick off our fourth year here in Hoboken than with this conversation of finding love. And for us, as John said, the mission of Hoboken Grace is to help people find their way back to God. And we believe that God is defined by love. And so for us, this idea of finding love is at the very core of who we are here at Hoboken Grace, the very core of what we're about. And so what better way to be able to go into this fourth year than with this conversation. And I believe that it's not just the core of who we are as a church. I believe it's the core of what it means to be human. I believe every single one of us is on a journey where we're seeking to love and to be loved. I mean, there's a reason why that Paramore song that we sang before we walked into this is so powerful, and those words of this individual who's struggling with whether love exists or doesn't exist and what that looks like. There's a reason that that's so powerful. And it's because every single one of us is on this journey and looking for how we can experience love more, how we can show love more. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're here today and you're single, seeking, married, divorced. It doesn't matter. We're all in this together. You may not be looking for romantic love. It may be love that you're experiencing in friendships that you have, or even in love that you're experiencing in parenting with children. We're all searching. And I believe that this conversation we're about to walk into is crucial in your life and in my life, especially if we're going to experience this life that I believe God is leading us into, this life that is best, this life that is just full. And so as we begin this, I want to invite you to just dive in with everything that you have. Because I believe that this journey God wants to take us on over the next 4 weeks is a life-changing journey. And I don't think there's any area of our lives that are filled with more potential for danger or more potential for good. I mean, what's the percentage of life change stories that begin with, and then I met this guy? Right? I mean, how many times do you find yourself in a conversation with a friend and they're telling you about how their life changed, and it begins with, and then I met this girl? Right? Good or bad. It can go either way. It's usually, you know, and then I met this guy. Those are the negative stories. And then I met this girl, and those are the positive stories. Right? Let's just be honest, guys. Let's look at it for what it is. And let me go ahead and say something right now, right? Because throughout this series, I'm going to make general statements like this, right? It doesn't mean that I believe that they're absolutely true, right? Sometimes it's just a joke, all right? That's all it is. So I just want to get that out of the way right from the beginning, and I want you to know that I've already taken precautions against this, because I know some of you, it's going to upset you. So I already went ahead and just shut down my email for the next 4 weeks, so don't even bother. You know? No, I'm just kidding. But this is going to be a lot of fun as we walk through this, and it's going to be challenging, and I believe it's going to be life-changing. Because I believe, and if you're new here at Hoboken, there's a few things you need to understand, or you're new here at Hoboken Grace, and there's a few things that you need to understand about us and the way we look at God, because we believe that God is love. And in that, we also believe that our God is a God who's for us and a God who satisfies every need. We've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks. And so as we look at this idea of finding love, I believe that God is leading you to love, that He wants to lead you to love. We don't believe our God is distant. We don't believe that we believe our God is incredibly involved in who we are and in the life that we're living. And I believe that in your life, God wants to lead you to love. And so for the next 4 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to begin to lay out this path that I believe God has given us as far as how we pursue love. And these principles are going to come into play no matter where you are in your relationship. Again, it doesn't matter whether you're seeking, single, divorced, married. These principles come into play. And I believe that God is leading you to something beautiful as it pertains to this area of love. As we do that, we're going to be walking through a book called Ruth. Now, for some of you, you didn't even realize that there was a book in the Bible called Ruth. It's in there. It's pretty small. And when it comes to this idea of finding love, it can be kind of tricky when we come to God's Word, because in God's Word, there's not a lot about necessarily finding love. It has a lot to do with the way that the Bible's written, the culture in which the Bible's written, because the culture in which the Bible is written isn't a culture in which they sought out relationships the way that we seek out relationships in our day and age. The relationships that people found themselves in the culture of the Bible were relationships that were largely determined based upon economics and based upon social status, based upon families, arranged marriages, all these different situations like this. And so most of what you read about love when it comes to God's Word is about how to be able to love the person or the one that you're already in a relationship with, which is great. But when it comes to this idea of finding love and how do I navigate that, for some of us, we look at God's Word and we think, man, I don't even know where to begin. I don't know where God's leading me. I don't know where God's guiding me. And I believe that when it comes to this journey, that when you look at the book of Ruth, we can begin to see God laying out a path for us of how to begin finding love. It's a story, this incredible love story between two people, one named Ruth and the other named Boaz. And it's found in the most unexpected of situations, in the most unexpected of places. And in this, we find God saying, I believe to each and every one of us, okay, this is kind of how this works. And these are principles for you to be able to navigate this journey. As we step into the story in Ruth chapter 1, it's kind of a strange circumstance to begin a love story. As a matter of fact, when we're introduced to Ruth and Naomi in chapter 1, and Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law, everything has gone wrong that could possibly go wrong. Naomi had left the nation of Israel, the land of Judah, to be able to go to the land of Moab because of the fact that there was a famine. And so her and her husband and her two sons had left Judah and had gone to Moab in order to be able to survive. In the process of that happening, Naomi's husband had died, both of her sons had died, and when we're introduced into the story, she finds herself with nothing, and it's just her and her two daughter-in-laws that had married her sons while they were in this foreign land, and they literally have nothing left. And that's where we pick up the story, and it begins, it says, "Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. With her two daughters-in-law, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah." So as we're introduced into this story, we find Ruth and Naomi, her mother-in-law, in this situation where everything's fallen apart. But they find out that, you know what, the famine is over back in the land of Judah, so we're able to go back. So let's go ahead and go back and see if we can start over, see if there's anything for us back there. There's something that you need to understand as well about this passage. In the culture that they lived at this time, economically, it was almost impossible for a woman to survive if she wasn't married. And so as Naomi finds herself in this foreign land, she has no chance of being able to survive here. So she says, I'm going to go home and hopefully I'll be able to survive there. And so they begin this journey back to Judah. But along the way, all of a sudden, there's this interesting conversation that takes place. And that's where I want us to really focus in our conversation today. It says, "But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back to your mother's homes And may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. So they're headed back, and along the way, all of a sudden, Naomi realizes, and we don't really know why, but all of a sudden, she comes to the conclusion that what I'm leading these two daughters-in-law of mine to is hopeless. And so along this journey, she comes to the point where she turns to her daughters-in-law and says, listen, you need to just go back. You need to just go home because, you know, I know you're faithful to me. I know you're coming with me, but this doesn't make any sense for you. And like I said, marriage was a huge part of their lives and them being provided for and them being secure as they move forward. And so she says, you need to go back where you can still be married again. And there's some interesting words that the writer uses in order to help us understand that this was a crucial part of this conversation, because not only do we see Naomi say, okay, you need to go back where you can still get married again, but she also refers to their house as their mother's house, which would be very rare. It would have always been referred to as their father's house. But the writer wants you to understand that in both of these girls' lives, they still had the chance to be able to go back and to be able to prepare themselves and to step back into this relationship of marriage. And so Naomi's on this road with these two daughters-in-law of hers, and she says, I know you're faithful to me, but this road that I'm about to go down, it's hopeless. And so you two need to just go back, and hopefully you'll be able to be taken care of, and you'll be able to get married again. Now the daughters-in-law don't go along with it at the beginning. Says, no, they said, we want to go with you to your people. But Naomi replied, why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to another son, to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' home, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not. My daughters, things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me. So she says, listen, go back. You still have chance. You still have a hope. There's still a chance for you to be able to get married. There's still a chance for you to be able to find love. Go back. There's no hope if you follow me. But then her daughters-in-law surprisingly respond with no. And as they respond to her, the conversation begins to change a little bit, because they don't talk to her about this idea of getting married. They talk to her and they respond to her about something very different, because they say, no, we're going to go with you because we want to go to your people. We want to be a part of your people. Now, the people who first heard this story would have understood the significance of that line, because they would have understood that this idea of how God was defined was wrapped up in this idea of your people. And so as they're saying that, they're not just saying to Naomi, we want to be with you. They're saying, we want to follow your God, your people. We're buying into this idea of who God is. And we're committed to that. For us, it's not so much about the marriage thing. We don't know how they had been exposed to this idea of God and the relationships that they had with their husbands, but they say to her, we want to be a part of your people. We want to follow your God. And Naomi goes back to the marriage thing as she responds back to them and says, listen, no, go back. It's hopeless. Even if I had a son, there's no way that you're going to wait to marry him. And some of you hear that and you're like, that's just weird, right? No, you don't. You don't think that's weird? I think that's weird, right? And some of you read that, you're like, man, that's just weird. What is she talking about? The culture in which this story is given, in which we find this story, is a culture in which, like I said, this provision for the wife was crucial. And so part of how this system was set up was that when the husband would die, the brother of that husband would then provide for and take on his brother's wife. And so what she's referring to is this practice, and she's saying, listen, I can't even if I were to get married and have other sons, you're not going to be able to wait for them. So it's hopeless if you come with me, that you have no chance. She goes back to that conversation of marriage, but she understands that they're talking about God. And so she brings that into the conversation as well. And she says, and not only do you not want to follow me because I can't provide for you, but God really can't either. I mean, look what he's done to me. Look at how he's raised his fist against me. And so she says, just go home. Just go home. Because this God doesn't lead you to love. Look where it led me. This God leads you to loneliness. And me, following me, I'm not going to lead you to love. I'm just going to lead you to loneliness. And so one of the two daughters-in-law decides to go home. It says, and again they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same. But Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more, so the two of them continued on their journey. And the book of Ruth is a really incredible book because it's a story, really. The main story in the book of Ruth is a story between Naomi and God, and Naomi working through her bitterness about the fact that she's alone in this situation. And Naomi walking away from God because she doesn't believe that God leads to love. And it's this amazing story about Naomi and God and how they interact with one another. And at the same time, there's this contrasting story behind Naomi of the story of Ruth. And we see at this point in their lives, Naomi has come to the point where she says, you know what? I don't trust him anymore. But Ruth, the one we would least expect to trust him, says, you know what? I understand what you're saying. I understand that if I follow you, if I follow this God, then it's probably going to mean that I'm alone for the rest of my life. I understand that it's probably going to mean that I have to give up this dream of love. But I'm going to choose him anyway. It's a strange beginning to a love story. I don't think very many of us, if we were to sit down today and write out a love story, would begin this way. And I'm not just talking about the fact that we see so many people dying. I'm talking about this story beginning with someone who decides to choose being lonely over being married. And for some of you, you know the book of Ruth, and you're familiar with the story, and so you look at this, and a lot of times I've heard this passage taught that, okay, God uses extreme circumstances to be able to communicate to us a principle of making sure that God is a part of our lives. But I think it's more than that. I mean, there's so few stories in God's Word that talk about relationships that way, that walk through relationships this way, that where two people are finding one another and coming together and this beautiful relationship is born. There's so few of them in Scripture. Why does he choose the one that he goes to the most, into the most detail on? Why does he choose to start it like this? Why does the story begin here? You see, I don't believe for God that this is an extreme circumstance. I believe for God, every great love story starts just like this. Not the fact that people are dying and people are being taken away, but I believe the reason God begins this story this way is because he wants you to understand that for him, this journey he wants you to take you down, this journey he wants for you to be able to walk with him towards love, this journey always begins here. It always begins with this idea that, okay, God, I'm going to value you above valuing the love I experience from him, the love I experience from her, the love I experience from my kids, the love I experience from my friends. And even if it means that I have to give all of that up to follow you, I'll do it. Even if it costs me all of that to follow you, I'll do it. I believe there are a couple different reasons why God brings us to this point. I believe there are a couple different reasons why God tells us this story this way and why this journey begins this way. For one, I think God wants you to understand that this love that you're searching for, it can only be found in him. This love that you want to experience, it can only be found in him. And we talk about that a lot here at Hoboken Grace. And I believe that's one of the reasons. I believe the secondary reason is that he understands that if you begin to experience these relationships without having that relationship with him first, without having made that decision about him first, you will destroy the relationships that you're a part of. Because he wants to guide you in those relationships. He wants to direct you in those relationships. He wants to help you make wise decisions in those relationships. But if you don't value him first, if you're not pursuing him first, if you're not willing to walk away from that relationship for him, you're not going to be able to make the decisions he's leading you into and guiding you through. And it really doesn't matter what relationship we're talking about. Some of you are experiencing this because you're walking through this idea of dating and God and how God directs you and guides you in these dating relationships, and you're hearing God say things that don't make any sense at all. And inside of our culture, like, it just shocks you that God would say anything like that. And so God says things like, you know what, I don't want you to sleep together until you are completely committed to one another. And inside your head, you're thinking, if I do that, I will be single for the rest of my life. You can laugh at that, all right? Inside your head, you're thinking, if I do that, I will lose the relationship I'm a part of. It's not necessarily true. And God realizes that in order for you to be able to make those decisions, you have to be able to make the decision that Ruth made. And if you make the decision Ruth made, you'll be able to make those decisions. He understands that for you to be able to have the relationship that he wants you to have with your spouse, there are going to be times when he's going to be leading you to bring up conversations that you realize are going to cause all sorts of conflict. And in your mind, you're going to be thinking, if I bring this up, if I head down this road with my spouse, if I begin to talk about how we can possibly raise our kids in such a way that they know God, it's going to destroy everything. And God says, or God realizes, that if you're not able to make this decision that Naomi made, you're not going to be able to walk through those conversations either. And over again, you're going to choose the love of your children, the love of your spouse, the love of the one that you're dating over what God is leading you into. He understands that you're not going to be able to make the choices you need to make in order to experience the fullness of this love if you don't start here. And I think we know it. But this is hard. I mean, what kind of love story starts like this? This takes faith. I mean, what kind of faith does it take to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to follow God even if it means I'm single for the rest of my life? And for Ruth, that meant a lot more than what it means for us. Because it also meant she was going to be poor the rest of her life. It also meant she was going to have no status for the rest of her life. And yet she still chose God. This is where it starts. And I wish, I'll be honest, I wish I could tell you that it started with a couple things that you just needed to put in place with your life, but it doesn't. And throughout this series, we're going to walk through all sorts of really practical things that God gives us to be able to love one another more and to find love in all these different ways and experience love in all these different ways. But if you don't start here, you're not going to be able to make the decisions you need to make when you need to make them. And you're not going to be able to continue on this path. And the truth is, sometimes this path is going to seem far too narrow. But it's a path that leads to life. And our God is a God who knows love better than we could possibly know love. And he wants to take you there. He wants you to find that. He is not holding out on you. And there is no other path that will lead you to a greater love. None. But it starts here. I don't know where you are today on this journey. I don't know where you are as it pertains to this step. Some of you are here today and you're angry with God. Because God still hasn't provided that love. And God's calling you to something better. Some of you are here today and you're in the midst of a great relationship and you're like, you know what? The relationship that my spouse and I have, the relationship that I'm in right now, it's awesome and it didn't really start that way. I understand that. And I'm not saying that this is a part of every love. I'm not saying you have to do this in order to experience love. I'm telling you for what God wants to take you into. If you're going to lead a life that experiences the fullness of the love that God wants for you, it starts here. And so for some of you, this is a conversation where you go into and you say, God, thank you so much for the spouse that you've given me. And I love them. But I'm going to choose to love you more. For others, it's a decision to say, okay, God, I'm pursuing this relationship. And I want it so much. But I'm going to choose to pursue you more. And I'm going to follow you as you guide me to this. I'm not going to follow myself. I'm going to follow you. For others of you, your love story began this way. And there was a time in your life when you absolutely, I mean, you chose God above everything else, and God brought into your life this incredibly beautiful, wonderful person. And in the process, they've become more important than Him. And in your life, it's more important to spend time with them than it is to spend time with Him. And it's more important to care for them and to make sure that this relationship is solid than it is to follow what He's asked you to do. And you've fallen away from this thing that God was leading you into. I don't know where you are today. But as we begin this journey, I want to put this before you and invite you to begin wrestling with God about this idea of saying, okay, God, as it pertains to love, even if it means my dreams never come true, I choose you. This is not the last step on this journey. It's the first. And it will always start right here. Will you pray with me? Father, today, I want to pray for those who are here who find themselves in the situation that Naomi found herself in. Where they've been searching and searching and searching, and it just seems like you just continue to close the doors, and they've come to the point where they're just done trusting you. Father, I want to pray that their eyes would be open to who you are. I want to pray that they would realize that you have not forgot about them. You have not given up on them. I want to pray that they would realize that even though it seems so dark, even though they find themselves exactly where these two individuals found themselves, that there is hope, that there is life, and that you are leading them forward. I pray that we would be able to begin this conversation as a church with the decision to say, okay, we're pursuing love, but this is not our idol. And we are pursuing you above and beyond. And we're trusting you and the path that you've given us to lead us where you want to take us. Father, I pray for those who have known this journey before, those who have experienced what it means to be completely committed to you, that may have become distracted by the love that you've brought into their lives. Father, I pray that as we continue to learn how to love one another better, that you would continue to draw us back to this constant reminder that if we're going to love those that you've given us the way that you want us to love them, then we have to come back to this, to where we give up these things that are valuable for that which is most valuable, you. Father, we want to be yours, and we trust you that where you lead will be the best we could possibly experience. In Jesus' name.